Well, if you have your Bibles, we are in Luke this morning, Luke chapter 10. This is the second to last of in our sermon series, Close Encounters with Jesus. And this morning, we're going to be looking at my wife's favorite passage of Scripture, Mary and Martha. I know, be kind to Martha. And I'm going to try to be as gentle and kind with Martha's today as Jesus was with Martha in Luke chapter 10. Because I don't want to be on the couch tonight after this message. But yes, I am married to a Martha. Martha seems to get beat up in this passage of Scripture, and Jesus isn't beating Martha up. Jesus knows what Martha needs, and we're going to be looking at that more this morning. But she is definitely a doer, Martha is, and she is into serving God. That is her, that's her love language. That's how she's wired. But she has a sister who's wired differently. Her sister, Mary, is not necessarily a doer, but she is a worshiper. And we find her in our text this morning at the feet of Jesus. And to be a female and at the feet of Jesus was not appropriate in that day. But Jesus wasn't like the other teachers of that day. Jesus had a close relationship with both Mary and Martha, and wanted Mary to be at his feet as he was teaching that day. But as we look at Martha's life, if she was a doer, she was wasn't just about faith alone, but works were very much a part of her life. And James, the half-brother of Jesus, I'm sure loved Martha because she worked alongside her faith. But I just want us to remind ourselves this morning, church, that if it wasn't for Martha's in this world, we'd all starve to death. Martha, she's wired. These people are just wired to take care of other people's needs, and so that's who we're looking at this morning. And as we're in this text, Martha is in crisis mode. Okay, and it's her own fault, actually, because she's invited at least 13 people over to the house. She's heard that Jesus has come to Bethany, and so she invites Jesus and all the disciples to her house. And so she is frantically putting a meal together to serve everyone. And it reminds me of a poem I came across one time. I shared this with you about 4 years ago when I was in this text. It's a Christmas poem that reminds me of where Martha is today in this text. And so I'm just going to read it for us this morning and see if maybe you can't identify or you know somebody who fits this description. See Mother laugh. Mother is happy. Mother is happy about Christmas. Mother has many plans. Mother has many plans for Christmas. Mother is organized. Mother smiles all the time. Funny, funny mother. See mother smile. Mother is happy. The shopping is all done. See the children watch TV. Watch children watch. See the children change their minds. See them ask for different toys. Look, mother is not smiling. Funny, funny mother. See mother. See mother sew. Mother will make dresses. Mother will make robes. Mother will make shirts. See mother put the zipper in the wrong place. See mother sew the dress on the wrong side. See mother cut the skirt too short. See mother put the material away until January. Look, see mother take a tranquilizer. Funny mother. See mother buy raisins and nuts. See mother buy candied pineapple and powdered sugar. See mother buy flour and dates and pecans and brown sugar and bananas and spices and vanilla. Look, mother is mixing everything together. See the children press out cookies. See the flour on their elbows. See the cookies burn. See the cake fall. See the children pull taffy. See mother pull her hair. See mother clean the kitchen floor with a garden hose. Funny mother. See mother wrap presents. See mother look for the end of the scotch tape roll. See mother bite her fingernails. See mother go. See mother go to the store 12 times in 1 hour. Go, mother, go. See mother go faster. Run, mother, run. See mother trim the tree. See mother have a party. See mother make popcorn. See mother wash the walls. See mother scrub the rug. See mother tear up the organized plan. See mother forget a gift for Uncle Harold. See mother get hives. Go, mother, go. See the faraway look in mother's eyes. Mother has become disorganized. Mother has become disoriented. Funny mother. It is finally Christmas morning. See the happy family. See father smile. Father is happy. Smile, father, smile. Father loves fruitcake. Father loves Christmas pudding. Father loves all the new neckties. Look. See the happy children. See the children's toys. Santa was very good to the children. The children will remember this Christmas. See mother. Mother is slumped in a chair. Mother is crying uncontrollably. Mother does not look well. Mother has ugly dark circles under her bloodshot eyes. Everyone helps mother to her bed. See mother sleep quietly under heavy sedation. See mother smile. Funny mother. I think mother was very much a Martha. And so I know, well, I'm not going there. So let's, what?
Wise man,
yes. Learn well. All right, so let's go to Luke chapter 10 this morning, and let's look at this story that I know that we are very familiar with. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion which will not be taken away from her." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this opportunity we have to gather at the foot of your feet. And that, Jesus, that you teach us this morning. Help us, Lord, to find balance in our life. To be doing, God, what you've called us to do, whether we're a Mary or we're a Martha. God, it's all about you. And so I pray that you would open our eyes to truth. And Father, we would have a heart to not only serve you, but pursue you. And so thank you for this time we have together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Why is this story in our Bible? Why did Luke include this in his book? I think there's one glaring answer to the question, to that question, that he wants us to get. And the answer is this, that we can't be so busy for Jesus that we neglect to be with him. Think about this. The Lord, the creator of the universe, is in Martha's home. And she is missing an incredible opportunity to be with Jesus because she's so busy serving him, doing something for him. And so this morning, I want us to look primarily at her life. And there's some things that we need to see about Martha's life here as we look at this text, as we contemplate this text. The first is this. As Jesus was in Martha's home, Martha first was very distracted. She didn't find herself being drawn to Jesus. She found herself being pulled away from Jesus because of all the responsibilities that she had in the kitchen. She was a distracted individual trying to prepare for an army of people. And maybe you find yourself being distracted. Maybe you have a lot of responsibilities in the church, or you have a lot of responsibilities at home. You love Jesus. You desire to spend time with him. But there are some earthly things, there are some urgent things that just seem to always capture your attention, to draw you away from Jesus. And that's what we see in Martha's life here. She is being pulled away from the Lord. Now, I think a word of application here as we go through Martha's life is that when we go home this afternoon and our Martha is in the kitchen, busy preparing lunch or dinner for those who are there, it would probably be a good idea that rather than being a Mary and just waiting to be served, maybe we need to be a little bit more assertive and go into the kitchen and help Martha. And when the food is served, whether it be lunch or dinner, that we look our Martha in the eye and say, "Thank you for this meal." I think that would go a whole long ways in blessing and appreciating the Marthas that are in our life. But for this Martha here, the first thing we see about her life is she is distracted. She is focused on her to-do list. And maybe you're here this morning and you're working on a to-do list as I preach this sermon. Guess what? It would probably be a good idea if you just set that to-do list aside and listen to, not my words, but Jesus' words this morning. Not only was Martha distracted, but Martha, we see, is focused on Mary's faults. Now, like I said earlier, Mary and Martha, they're wired differently. They're sisters, but they're not, they don't come out of the same mold. Martha is a doer, and Mary is a worshiper. Martha has an active faith, and Martha, or Mary, has a contemplative faith. And both are important. One is not superior to the other. But in this moment, as a meal has to be prepared, Martha is focused on Mary's weakness. Mary just wants to be at the feet of Jesus. And Martha wants Mary to be a Martha. And so she is just focused on what Mary isn't doing. And as she's focused on what Mary isn't doing, you know what? She's getting herself stirred up more and more in her spirit. This should be obvious to my sister. She needs to be in here helping me. And so Martha is just focused on what Mary isn't doing. And it's not helping Martha's disposition. Not only is Martha distracted and focused on Mary's fault, but she's also angry. Martha is getting more and more angry. The more she focuses on her sister, the more she's getting worked up about it. And you can just picture what's going on here. You know, I'm sure Martha's in the kitchen and she is clanging the pots and pans. You know, making a ruckus in the kitchen, hoping that Mary is going to get the message. Martha probably comes out and has things that she's getting the table set. And I'm sure she's staring at Mary at Jesus' feet and giving her the stink eye. You know, some body language, get in here. And she's just not getting it. And we see Martha getting more and more angry. And her anger becomes public. She chooses to essentially throw her sister under the bus by telling Jesus, "Jesus, can't you tell my sister to get in here and help me?" I mean, to put her sister on the spot like that and try to humiliate her sister in front of all these people and all and the disciples and Jesus. Either Martha doesn't care or her filter is so wide that she just doesn't get it or understand what she just did. I think she does. But that's how angry Martha had become. Martha is so angry, see, she's so disillusioned about the situation that she even questions Jesus. She asks Jesus the question, "Jesus, don't you care that my sister isn't helping me?" She questions Jesus' care. Does that ever happen in your life? Where you're serving the Lord Jesus in the church? You're busy doing whether it's working with teenagers or children or preschool, or you're preparing a meal of food, and you're doing all this stuff, and maybe you're back there with the preschoolers, and you've got 8 to 10 little toddlers in there all by yourself. And 5 of them have to go to the bathroom at the same time. And there's nobody else to help you. Now, it's real easy at that point to get a little angry in your heart. why aren't there more people stepping up to serve and provide the ministry that we need to have in this church? And there could be a ministry where, you know, you're doing this, you're faithful, you're passionate about it, but no one else is coming alongside to support you, to be there, to do this together. And you're getting kind of bitter in your heart towards the Lord. You're no longer doing this with the Holy Spirit in control of your life. You're doing it in the flesh. And doing in the flesh, it's grating on you, and you're burning out. That's where Martha is. And she's questioning Jesus. Jesus, don't you care? And this is a very awkward position for Jesus. I'm sure, you know, this hasn't caught Jesus by surprise, and so Jesus was in a position where he didn't know what to do. But essentially, Martha is telling Jesus, Jesus, I want you to take sides here. Who's the better person? Okay? Who do you value more, Jesus? Do you value the worker or the worshiper? And you better get this answer right, Jesus. Because if you don't get this answer right, no dinner for you tonight, buddy. That's what's happening in Martha's heart right now, her spirit. Jesus, do you value the practical-minded person or the contemplative person? Who is it, Jesus, that you value more? Jesus gives Martha an answer. And it is not the answer that Martha was expecting. Jesus responds in verse 41. Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. He says her name twice. This isn't a rebuke, church. Martha is important. What Martha is doing is important. In this story of Mary and Martha comes on the heels of the Good Samaritan story and what the greatest commandment is. And so Jesus knows the importance of a serving, and we're going to be looking at that next week. But Jesus looks at Martha in the heat of her anger. She's tried to publicly humiliate Mary. And Jesus says with all the tenderness that is in his heart, Martha, Martha. Jesus knows that Martha is overextended, that her responsibilities have gotten the best of her. Because this isn't Martha who we're seeing in this text. And when Jesus says, do not be anxious, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion that will not be taken away from her. In essence, what Jesus is telling Martha, Martha, what you're trying to do for me is not nearly as important right now as what I can do for you. Jesus sees Martha, and Jesus realizes that it's Jesus that she needs most right now. And so Mary has chosen the good thing. You are worried, you're distracted. You just need to calm down, Martha. You need to breathe. You need to relax, because there is only one thing that's most important at this moment. And that is you being with me. I'm sure that that had to be a very awkward moment for Martha. That is not the answer she was anticipating. And I'm wondering if she was thinking in her heart, fine, cook it yourself. But she didn't do that. She didn't do that. But Jesus is saying, Martha, I'm your bread. Martha, I'm your Sabbath rest. Martha, I am. Don't find your identity and don't find your cup being filled up in doing things for me. Jesus is saying, allow me to fill your cup. And the only way Jesus can fill your cup and my cup is not by being back there with the preschoolers and changing those diapers every single Sunday. You're not busy doing things for God. What fills our cup is getting alone with Jesus and hearing His words. How much He loves us. All that He has done for us. And when we understand who Jesus is and wants to be in our life and we worship at His feet, you know what? It changes our behavior. It changes our motivation. And we approach ministry as not like something we have to do, but it's something that we get to do. Martha wasn't there. Her life was out of balance. Now, in Martha's defense, as I mentioned earlier, if it wasn't for Martha's, church wouldn't happen. If we had a church only filled with Marys, what would this church be like? I mean, we would have children running all over the place. This facility would be a disaster. It would be in disarray. Things would be broken. And we would be a terrible testimony of who God is in this church. And so, it's important that we're not just worshipers, but we're doers as well. But in doing so, there needs to be balance. And so, this morning, I want to commend the Marthas. I want to commend the Martha. Without Marthas, I'd probably be a whole lot skinnier. I probably wouldn't even be alive today. But we need the Marthas in our homes. We need the Marthas in our church. But in this moment, in this text, Jesus is telling Martha, Martha, you need me more than you need to be doing something for me in the kitchen. Let it go, Martha. Spend time with me. We need that, church. We need that reminder consistently because that's the gospel. It's pausing and it's remembering all that Jesus has done for us. It's not about us doing things for Him. That's religion. There's a time and a place for doing things for the kingdom. But the gospel is reminding ourselves of all that Jesus has done for us. It's only what Jesus has done that can get us to heaven. None of our good works, all of our good works combined will never get us there. It's by believing in what Jesus has already done for us. This is crucial. This is what the gospel teaches. the Christian life is a balance of duty and devotion. You can't just forever be a Mary. Well, let me ask you this question. How many of you here this morning are a Martha? Can you raise your hand? You're a Martha. Okay. That's not enough Marthas around here. How many of you are a Mary this morning? Oh, come on. Okay. Okay. How many of you don't know? If you don't know, you're a Mary. Because Marthas know who they are. Now my question this morning from this text, did Martha get Jesus' message? You know, we don't know if Martha put her towel down and just sat at Jesus' feet. I imagine she did. Okay, and then after Jesus was done teaching, then everybody kind of pitched in and got dinner going. But did Martha get the message beyond this text? I think probably she did. Because in John chapter 11, the Bible talks about Mary and Martha's brother, Lazarus, having died. And Jesus still hadn't come. Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. Martha has been with her distraught sister, Mary. And Martha has been consoling Mary. But she hears that Jesus comes. And in John chapter 11, if you got your Bibles, turn there for a moment. I think it's in verse 27. Well, let's go to verse 21. We have time. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. And whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" And Martha said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into this world." Martha had left consoling Mary when she heard Jesus was coming, and she ran to be with Jesus. Martha believes in who Jesus is. She says in verse 27, "Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." There's only one other person in the New Testament who has made that kind of confession. And that was Peter in Matthew chapter 16, verse 16, when Peter says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Martha knows who Jesus is. I believe that Martha has taken the time to not go get so caught up in the busyness of doing things for God and starts focusing on who Jesus is. She knows that he is the Son of God, that he is the Messiah. Martha gets it. But not only does Martha get it, but Mary gets it too. Yes, Mary is a worshiper. And because she's a worshiper, she doesn't miss who Jesus is. After John chapter 11, you go to John chapter 12, the first few verses of John chapter 12. Jesus is there, and Mary is there, and Mary takes a bottle of very expensive perfume. I mean, incredibly expensive. In today's prices, it probably would have been worth about $35,000, scholars say. She takes that perfume and she pours it on Jesus' head and on his feet. She's anointing her body. His body. The disciples are indignant. Why are you doing that? And Jesus, leave her alone. Jesus says, she's anointing my body for burial. Mary knows what I am about to do, not only for her, but all of you and for all of mankind. When it was going right over the disciples' heads, Mary knew that this was the last week of Jesus' life, that he was going to be crucified, and she is worshiping Jesus. She is showing her love and her gratitude for what Jesus is about to do for her. Folks, it's really important that we understand why God has called us to do the things that we do. Because Jesus and Jesus alone has the words of eternal life. We looked at Peter last week and the disciples. Everybody left because they were looking for a handout. They wanted Jesus to be their gravy train. And Jesus says, unless I am your everything, you can't follow me. You are not my followers. You are not my disciple. And they left. They weren't getting breakfast that morning. And then he turns to his disciples and says, do you want to leave too? And they realize, no. Where else are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. You are the Holy One of God. Church, if we don't know that, if we don't believe that in our heart of hearts, we're going to walk away from him as well. We're not going to want to respond to ministry opportunities in the church because it's just about me. I'm just here to feed me, and Pastor, you better have a really good sermon or I may not be back next week. Those are Marys who are in it for themselves. Mary of this text knew who Jesus is. Martha, in her service to the Lord, knew who Jesus is. And when we have the right belief in whom God is, we will live a balanced life. It can't be all about contemplation. We're going to look at that next week in the Good Samaritan story. There were two people who passed by the guy that had been beat up in the road. They had a contemplative mindset. They were religious people and they were busy having to go do something else. But there was a Samaritan who saw the need and responded. Live a balanced life. Get alone with Jesus. Don't just get all caught up in the doing. Get alone. And chances are, if you're feeling burned out, if you're a bit resentful, you're focused on others and what other people aren't doing, stop. Focus on Jesus. Because Jesus is telling every one of us this morning, it's Him that we need most. And Martha's, thank you for all that you do. You are appreciated. And you know you're needed because nobody else is going to get it done. But thank you. And you know what? Jesus appreciates it too. He wasn't rebuking Martha. He's just telling Martha, Martha, you need me most right now. Maybe we respond to his word. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this very practical passage of scripture. And Lord, I thank you for Martha's here in this room. And it's easy, Father, for them to overextend themselves because it's their heart's desire just to want to meet needs. To see something that needs to be addressed and go about addressing it themselves. But Lord, it can lead to frustration, exhaustion, burnout. And Jesus, you know what we need most. So help Martha's. Help Martha's to find some space to spend time with you. And then, Father, I thank you for the Marys who have a heart for you, who encourage others, who are struggling. God, you've given them a word. And oftentimes you use that word to minister to others. And Father, it's such a blessing to interact with them and for us to be able to hear their heart and God, what you're doing in our life. And Mary didn't miss you, Jesus. When everybody else didn't get it, Mary got it. God, help us to slow down and get who you are in our life. You are the Holy One of God. There is no other name under heaven or earth whereby man can be saved. Jesus, it is you alone. It's not what we do for you that saves us, Jesus. It's faith and believing who you say you are and what you did for us. May we never forget that. In the quietness of this moment, we're not going to sing a song of invitation. If you feel like you are at the end of yourself this morning, I want you to know that Jesus is there. And in the quiet of this moment, would you just pray to him? Ask Jesus to help you see him.